वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
Hare Krishna. Reading from Canto 11, Chapter 22, Verse Number 21 to 23. Chapter is entitled Elements of Material Creation. We'll recite text number 21.
Chatvari eveti tatrapi teja aponnam atmanah jatani tair idam jatam janma vayavina khalu चत्वार्येवेति तत्रापि तेज आपोन्नमात्मनः जातानि तैरिदं जातम् जन्मा वयविनः खलु चत्वार्येवेति तत्रापि तेज आपोन्नमात्मनः जातानि तैरिदं जातम् जन्मा वयविनः खलु चत्वार्येवेति तत्रापि तेज आपोन्नमात्मनः जातानि तैरिदं जातम् जन्मा वयविनः खलु।
Mataji's translation. Some philosophers propose the existence of four basic elements, of which three, that is fire, water and earth, emanate from the fourth, the self. Once existing, these elements produce the cosmic manifestation in which all material creation takes place. Verse number 22 and 23. This doesn't have a purport. Verse number 21 doesn't have a purport.
Sankhyane sapta dashake bhuta matrendriyani cha pancha panchaika manasa atma sapta dasha smrita.
Translation. Some calculate the existence of 17 basic elements, namely the 5 gross elements, the 5 objects of perception, the 5 sensory organs, the mind and the soul as the 17th element. Verse number 23.
Tadvat chodasha sankhyane atmaiva mana uchyate
Bhutendriyani Panchaiva Mana Atma Trayodasha. According to the calculation of 16 elements, the only difference from the previous theory is that the soul is identified with the mind. If we think in terms of 5 physical elements, 5 senses, the mind, the individual soul and the Supreme Lord, there are 13 elements. Purport. According to the theory of 13 elements, the sense objects, that is aroma, taste, form, touch and sound, are considered byproducts of the interaction of the senses and physical matters.
Om Ajnana Dimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptaganjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanjagalbatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mugam Garoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Shri Chaitanyamishwaram Paramananda Madhavam
Hare Krishna. Seek the blessings of all the devotees assembled here. I am quite dumb to speak on this subject matter because it was just a very last moment instruction given to me to sit here and speak something. Quite unprepared, may not be able to do full justice to this verse. Kindly pardon me for this. Verse number 21. Chatvari eveti tatrapi teja apo annamatmanaha jatani tairidam jatam janma vayavinahakalu. Some philosophers propose the existence of 4 basic elements, of which 3, that is fire, earth and water, emanate from the 4th, the self. Once existing, these elements produce the cosmic manifestation in which all material creation takes place. So basically we have come a long way while discussing this beautiful narration of Uddhav Gita. Uddhav Gita began in the 6th chapter of the 11th canto from verse number 40th of the 6th chapter, yes. And it goes on till 29th chapter. And we are on the 22nd chapter now. So practically we have covered half, more than half of the Uddhav Gita. This is one of the most philosophical sections, very long, long sections, or in fact longest sections in Srimad Bhagavatam, covering more than 1,000 verses of the 18,000 verses that we find in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Uddhav Gita itself contains more than 1,000 verses, right from chapter number 6 to chapter number 29. In fact, through this Uddhav Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us the conclusive teachings, not just in terms of the ultimate or the highest conclusion, but also from the point of how now Krishna is giving his final concluding message to the whole world, especially through Uddhava, when he is about to depart from this world. And it is quite interesting that both Bhagavad Gita and Uddhava Gita were spoken during the extreme crisis. Bhagavad Gita was spoken where Arjuna was under severe crisis, whether to fight this fratricidal war or not. And here we see in case of Uddhava Gita, Uddhava Gita is spoken just before when this fratricidal war is about to begin amongst or between the Yadus. So in a normal course of events, when things are going very smoothly, life is going easy, no one is interested in philosophy. But when crisis strikes, then what happens is all the security and all the pleasure-giving activities are threatened in our life. And as a result, we don't know what's to be done, what's not to be done. At that moment, these philosophical truths actually acts as a shelter. In fact, Prabhupada writes in one of the purport, when crisis comes in a life of a devotee, devotee may be perplexed, just like we see in the case of Uddhava. A biggest crisis of his life is about to manifest, where Lord Krishna, his master, is about to depart from this world. And not only that, all those loved ones and dear ones whom Uddhav so very closely know, they are also going to depart from this world. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that devotee may be perplexed, but devotee is not discouraged. What do you mean by being perplexed? Being perplexed means person doesn't know what's to be done, what's not to be done. Being discouraged means to completely give up and find no meaning in life, or someone may not like to do anything. So to give up hope means to get discouraged. But a devotee may be perplexed, but he is never discouraged. This is what Prabhupada writes. And this is what we see in case of Uddhava, where he is trying to find out or ascertain the deeper meanings of life when the crisis is about to strike in his life. In fact, Lord Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita in the 14th chapter says, idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharmyam agata sargepi nopajayante pralaye navyathantite. Beginning of the 14th chapter, Krishna is saying, idam jnanam upashritya, this knowledge is worth taking shelter of. So knowledge is not just to be heard, knowledge is to be taken sheltered. And then Krishna says, sarge pino upajayante, one will not take birth by taking shelter of this knowledge. One will not take birth when the creation takes place. And one will not be bewildered when everything around him or her gets destroyed. That means when life seems to be shattering and scattering around us, and life seems to be meaningless, this knowledge is worth taking shelter of. And this is what we see in case of Uddhava here. Right at the beginning, when Uddhava is about to approach Krishna, when he gets to know that very soon Lord Krishna is going to depart from this world, Uddhava approaches Lord Krishna in a very submissive mood. And he is actually giving us a hint of what it means to take shelter of the Lord and of Lord's teachings. So this verse comes right at the beginning of the Uddhava Gita, where he says, drishtva arishtani ghorani nityam krishnam anuvratah Who is Uddhava? Uddhava is one who is Nityam Krishna Anuvrataha. Who is a faithful, loyal, constant follower of Lord Krishna. And now that when he heard Drishtva, when he saw Arishta Ghorani, when he saw bad omens appearing around him, and when he heard that Lord Krishna is very, very soon going to depart from this world, he approaches Krishna, Vivekta Upasangamya Jagatam Ishwareshwaram Pranamya Shirashapado Pranjalistam Abhashata. So Uddhava is taking shelter of Lord Krishna in a very interesting manner. So there are multiple signs of submission that we see in this verse. One is, he keeps aside his own exalted position. He being the disciple of Brihaspati, he is keeping aside his exalted position. And then, knowing very well the position of Lord Krishna, who is Jagatam Ishwareshwara, the Lord of all the Lords, Pranamya Shirisha, he submissively approaches Lord Krishna. And not only that, but he puts his head at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. That is itself a greater sign of submission. Not only he is submitting himself completely, he is keeping aside his exalted position, but he is putting his head at the lotus feet of Krishna. Not only that, he just doesn't do this momentarily. It's said further, Pranjalis, he is constantly folding his hand in front of Krishna, which is further indication of submission. So there are multiple signs of submission that we see in this verse, how Uddhava is actually telling us or giving us the indication of how to really approach Lord Krishna or how to take shelter of Lord Krishna. Idam jnanam upashritya. When we are approaching these beautiful sections from Srimad Bhagavatam, they are not just to be heard, but they are to be taken shelter of. So philosophy is not just a dry exercise of an intellect, but it's an intimate endeavor of the heart to find deeper meanings in life when life seems to be meaningless. This is the definition given by one devotee. What exactly philosophy means? So of course, this philosophy is not to be taken shelter of only during the time of crisis, only when calamity strikes, but also when we are in prosperity. So whether we are going through tough times or good times, this philosophy is worth taking shelter of. And coming to this verse, where these sections for us may appear to be quite irrelevant. Different elements of creation being discussed so much in detail. In fact, it may even appear to be redundant. But knowing very well the background, how Uddhava is approaching Lord Krishna in submission, we can know that these verses for sure makes sense in our life also. Especially because it speaks about the creation and the creator. And in particular, Uddhava Gita speaks about renouncing this world. So how do we renounce this world? By analytically studying this creation. So apparently it may appear to be redundant or very irrelevant, but it does has its relevance in our life. For someone who wants to exit or quit or eject from this material world, right at the beginning of the first canto, third chapter, while Suta Goswami is explaining the different Purusha avatars, he mentions in brief, Jagruhe Paurusham Rupam Bhagavan Mahadadibi Sambhutam Shodashakam Kalam Adau Loka Sishikshayaha. How these Purusha avatars, they create this material world. And if we read the description of how creation takes place, it is quite elaborate. It is quite detailed explanation. How Mahavishnu or Karanodakshaya Vishnu is lying in the causal ocean, and from his pores of the body, millions of universes emanate. And then that same Lord enters into each and every universe as the soul, or Garbhodakshaya Vishnu enters into each and every universe. And from the navel of that Garbhodakshaya Vishnu sprouts a beautiful lotus with a stem, and the topmost or on the lotus is born the four-headed Brahma, and the stem is nothing but the 14 planetary system, right from the upper planetary system, middle and the lower planetary system. So much detailed explanation is given about how creation takes place. And then that same Lord not only enters into the universe as a soul, that same Supreme Lord, that same Lord enters into every living entity as the super soul. So Kshirodakshaya Vishnu enters into every body of a living entity and acts, or he's present there as a super soul. So when so much elaborate description is given about this entire process of creation, there is a reason to it. It gives us a very deep meaning and a lessons for all the jivatmas, for all the living entities to learn. The first and the foremost lesson that we can learn is Lord himself is so simple and kind-hearted and merciful that he is facilitating this beautiful creation just for the enjoyment of the living entity who wants to enjoy separate from the Supreme Lord. Lord himself being independent doesn't enforce his laws or doesn't enforce his will upon the individual living entity and allows the individual living entity to use or misuse his free will. That's the first lesson that we can learn. What is the purpose behind his entire creation? Lord is allowing to use the free will and doesn't intervene into the free will of any or every living entity. Second lesson that we can learn is every jivatma is so stubborn. Lord is very simple and kind-hearted and merciful, but the jivatma is so stubborn because it's very difficult for a soul, conditioned soul, to accept Lord as his master. In fact, every living entity thinks that he is the enjoyer, controller, proprietor and master. So, because jivatma is stubborn, Lord actually creates and facilitates this material world so that here we can enjoy separately. So one devotee was sharing this, his realization that these two words, I accept and I agree, are the most difficult words for a jivatma to come in front of the Lord and share. For a jivatma to come in front of the Lord and tell that, my dear Lord, I accept, I accept you as my master is not easy. And for a jivatma to come in front of the Lord and tell, my dear Lord, I agree to become the servant of this servant. That is the biggest challenge. It's not easy. So such huge, elaborate, Herculean task that Lord Himself takes on Himself to create this material world is to facilitate the living entities to enjoy separately. In fact, in the spiritual world, Lord could have just slapped any living entity and He would have just told, okay, just shut up, just be here, just be happy in the spiritual world. In fact, Lord could have taken every jivatma under a kalpavriksha tree. Kalpavriksha tree in the spiritual world are desire fulfilling trees. Even the desire fulfilling trees in the spiritual world cannot fulfill the desire of the Lord. What is the desire of the Lord? Desire of the Lord is to make every living entity love Him. So the false ego of the living entity is so strong that even the kalpavriksha tree in the spiritual world cannot transform the desire of a rebellious soul to serve the Supreme Lord. As a result, this entire jhamela of creation takes place. So much detail that Lord has to endeavor. And that same Lord, after creating this wonderful creation, in order to reclaim the fallen conditioned soul, He goes to any extent to save them. He takes even the humblest of the position, like when He appears as Varaha Dev, who would want to take a form of a boar, who would want to take a form of a half man, half woman, half man, half lion. So Lord appears in different forms, different ages, out of His compassion. Yesterday, Rudranath Prabhu was beautifully explaining, Jivera karane asiya prapanche lila koile suvistara Gopinath. Jivera karane. Because of us, Lord has to come up with such big prapanch. So it's the compassion of the Lord which is the main reason behind this entire creation. And the biggest block between us and the Supreme Lord is that false ego. Our acharyas explain, not acharyas, one of the devotees, he was explaining that we have dynamites and hand grenades. Now these dynamites and hand grenades may appear to be very normal, ordinary when they are lying at one corner. Until and unless they explode, we don't realize the power of that dynamite or that hand grenade. Similarly, this false ego is like a dynamite or a hand grenade. It may appear to be lying somewhere in the corner, but when it explodes, the amount of damage that it does is immense. So, Krishna doesn't want to deal with such rebellious souls who are constantly exploding. So He gives us a separate place in this world. Okay, two jivatmas come together, clash and explode. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say that this material world is nothing but a mine of miseries. And in a mine, There is constant explosion taking place. When the dynamites explode, what comes out are the chunks of minerals or different, or mines, iron or different elements that come out. In this material world, when two jivatmas come together and false ego clashes, explosion takes place. And when two false ego clashes or explodes, what comes out is a chunk of miseries. Wherever you drill or you dig in a mine, what we will get is only minerals. No matter how much we dig in this material world, the only thing that we will get at the end is misery. So unless and until a jivatma realizes this fact that even after coming to this beautiful creation, at the end of the day, all that I get is misery. And the jivatma, unless and until that jivatma turns to the Supreme Lord and tells, "My dear Lord, I am yours. I have no other hope but you." Till that moment, this creation will continue to exist. But for that jivatma, it's the end of the creation. In the sense, this would be his last birth. When a jivatma ultimately turns to the Supreme Lord and proclaims loudly, "My dear Lord, I am yours." And here we see in this verse, or in this entire section, Lord Krishna is discussing the different elements of creation. In fact, he is describing the breakup of how this entire creation comes into being. What is this element? What is this creation made up of? And he's answering to different queries raised forward by Uddhava. So Krishna has explained already in the beginning of this chapter, that this entire creation is made up of 28 elements. But then Uddhava is coming up with a proposition that, "My dear Lord, you are saying that there are 28 elements involved, but there are many sages and philosophers who say that there are 9, there are 8, there are 13, there are 17. There are so many variegated opinions. There are so many differences of opinion. How do we reconcile?" And Krishna very calmly, patiently is answering to every question put forward by Uddhava. Because he being the creator of this creation, who knows or who can say better? Just like who can know better about what an iPhone X is more than a Steve Jobs? He's created that. Or who can tell better about what a Microsoft is, what a Microsoft company is, more better than a William Henry Gates? Similarly, who can tell better about the different elements of this creation better than the creator himself? So Uddhava is expressing here that there are various opinions just about one thing. And Lord is also accepting and acknowledging this fact. That is something wonderful about Lord Krishna, that he just doesn't reject, but on the contrary, he accommodates and he acknowledges different viewpoints. Subhashit says, "Pinde pinde matir bhinne, kunde kunde navappayaha, jato jato navachara navavani mukhe mukhe." No two bodies, pinda refers to body, no two bodies are alike. And within that body, no two face looks alike most of the time. Not only that, no two fingerprints look alike. No two minds are alike. No two mindsets are alike. That means no two thinking abilities are alike. Pinde pinde matir bhinna. Matir bhinna means no two intellectual think or propose alike. And kunde kunde navapaya. The quality of water keeps changing from one pond to another. Not only that, jata jata navachara, way of living keeps differing from one state to another, from one country to another, from one caste to another, from one society to another society. And then it says, navavani mukhe mukhe, languages differ from one state, one nation, one country. So if there is differences in everything practically in and around of us, naturally there is going to be a difference of opinion. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in one of the commentaries to these verses, he says that the different analytical approach mentioned by Uddhava, they are actually not contradictory, since they are simply different methods of categorizing the same reality. The same reality is being discussed and described in different ways. So Lord Krishna, he is accommodating and accepting different viewpoints. And when we also learn this art of accepting and accommodating different viewpoints, differences of opinion, that's actually the sign of maturity or broad-mindedness and being accommodative. When we also accept this fact that there could be many right, not just I am the only person who is right, but there could be many rights and not just me or my way is highway, that's when we actually advance on this path. Chaitanya Charitamrita was sharing this point that for many people spiritual is the goal. Spiritual is the goal of people coming from different cultural, social and intellectual background. But spiritual may be the goal, but that same spiritual is not perceived as same. That same spiritual is perceived as different by different people coming from different social, cultural and intellectual background. So my intellectual background may be different from someone else and my cultural background may be different from someone else. So naturally our way of looking at things is going to be differing. Say for example, a college, for a student who is studying in a school, maths or mathematics is all about multiplication, addition, subtraction and division. But for a student who is in a college, mathematics is not just about multiplication, addition, subtraction and division, but more than that, it is also about matrix, it is also about calculus, trigonometry. So based on the level of knowledge a person is at, he is going to perceive things differently. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Chaitanya Siksha Amrit, he says that if we take God as a huge mountain, then we can understand that Patanjali, this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Patanjali has seen that mountain from one direction, and Plato, who is a philosopher in the past, has perceived God or pursued this mountain from a different angle or a different direction. Now, if I have to understand, or if Plato has to understand what Patanjali means by what God actually is, then Plato will have to cross that mountain and go on the other side of the mountain to understand what actually Patanjali is trying to say. That may not be possible, to cross the mountain and go the other side. At the same time, we cannot deny this fact that a person like Patanjali, who is seeing a mountain from one angle, is wrong. And only my angle of looking at this mountain is right. So, a Plato cannot conclude this. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that based on their understanding of Plato or Patanjali, based on their understanding, based on their Sanskriti, based on the time or an era that they came from, based on the language of communication, they have tried to explain that one absolute truth. Or a simple example that can be given is an example of a person who is trying to see a tree, a huge banyan tree from a very far off distance. If I am looking at a tree which is practically a half a kilometer, I will end up concluding that this is just one object which is all green in color. But when that same person goes a bit closer, he may get to see, or he may change his idea, and he may say, okay, this is not just one object, but there are so many multiple things within that one tree. There are branches, there are twigs, there are fruits hanging. And more than that, when that person goes far more closer, he can see the shades of green within that tree. Not only that, he will even see thousands of ants crawling on that tree. And there is one chameleon which is sitting on that tree, having the same color of that tree. And he is busy sitting and eating those ants. Similarly, the point is, the more far we are from the absolute, we may give one conclusion. More closer we go, that same conclusion may differ, and we may actually expand that conclusion. Just as Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti shabdade. Paramatma is Bhagwa, the Brahman aspect is just one homogeneous element. Someone who goes close will actually see, no, there is Paramatma also, who is none other than this Brahman. And someone who may go far more closer will get to see the detailed, beautiful aspect of the personality of Godhead. So, opinions may vary. But Lord Krishna is here trying to reconcile all these opinions by telling that they are not wrong. But their way of looking at things based on my illusory energy, O Uddhava. Based on my illusory energy, they are able to perceive the same things in a different way. So similarly in our life, when opinions differ, we have to be mature enough to actually accommodate and understand that someone's opinion is just like seeing the front side of the mountain, and someone's opinion is like seeing the back side of the mountain. The only thing is, both may have a partial understanding of what that mountain is in toto, incomplete. But both of them may be right at their stands. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentions In Krishna Leela, when Krishna killed Trunavarta, what does that Trunavarta represent? Trunavarta represents useless argumentations. Because with the differences of opinion will arise A, B, C, D. That A stands for argumentation. Then there are so many differences of opinion, that difference of opinion will lead to arguments. Second, B, that differences of opinion may lead to battles. Not just argument, but it may lead to even battles or conflicts. That difference of opinion may also lead to C, that is conflicts or confusion. Too many opinions, it's confusing. And that same differences of opinion will also lead to doubts. So arguments, battles, confusion and doubts may arise with differences of opinion. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentions here while discussing the Trunavarta, Krishna killing Trunavarta, how Trunavarta represents useless argumentations. And what does this useless argumentations mean? Useless argumentation means misuse of one's intellectual faculties for arguing back and forth. And to continue on and on and on and never coming to a conclusion. That's what useless argumentations refer to. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions how our heart is like Vrindavan. And when we get into too much argumentations, and Krishna resides within one's heart, when too much argumentation we get into, then a demon of Trunavarta will come and take away Krishna from our heart. It will actually come in the form of a storm and take Krishna away. Similarly, these pointless arguments can come as a storm in our life and they can delude us and take us, Krishna, way away, and we may lose Krishna forever. That's why it is said, Tarko pratishto shrutayo vibhinno naso matir yasya nato rishir yasya matam na bhinnam dharmasya tattvam vihitam guhayam Mahajano yena gatha sapantha. When too much differences come in front of us, too much logic, too much argumentation will never help. In fact, Prabhupada mentions in this verse, the word Rishi means what? Rishi means someone who will never accept other person's opinion. He will always have his opinion which is different from other rishis' opinion. So that is what a logician or too much intellectual will look for. He will always look for difference of opinion. And they love to have difference of opinion. In fact, there is there are people or intellect in this world who have opened a society where they argue in terms of different types of opinions. So here this beautiful verse explains the only resort, the only solution, the easiest and the simplest solution to take shelter of is Mahajano Yena Gatha Sapantha. Following in the footsteps of the great soul is the solution to come out of too much logic and argumentation. So basically, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains how there are two major distractions on the spiritual path. One is the desire, that is the material desire, and second is the doubt. They are the two major distractions that can distract the seeker from this path. And Krishna again and again in Bhagavad Gita tells to Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, kindly give your mind and heart to me. Or kindly give your mind and offer your mind and offer your intellect to me. Why is Krishna again and again telling to offer one's mind and offer one's intellect? Is because mind is the place which generates desires. And intelligence is the place, is the seat which gives rise to doubts. And both these factors, desires and doubt, or mind and intelligence, can distract a living entity away from Krishna. So Krishna is telling every living entity to give up or surrender one's mind and intelligence. And especially when desires trouble us, we may start feeling ourselves weaker than before. Or that desire, if we indulge into, then that desire will humiliate us, or that same desire will at least humble us. But when doubts creep in, we may start getting the feeling of superiority. We may start thinking, I am intelligent, more intelligent than others. I am asking questions. In the name of being independently thoughtful, we may start asking questions, and in that course of asking questions, we may start thinking, oh, other people don't know as much as I know. As a result, that doubt is far more dangerous than having material desires. Material desires will humble us, but doubt will actually take us far more away on this path. As a result, it is mentioned that for a seeker, doubt is considered as a spiritual weakness. And amongst the intellectual and scholars, this doubt is considered as an intellectual strength. They think more they doubt, more they are strong in their intellect. Of course, we just cannot be naive that we stop doubting. But at the same time, we cannot keep doubting. Bhagavatam says, doubting is a sign of intelligence, but too much doubting is not a sign of an intelligent person. So, basically, time is up. The point Chaitanya Charitamrita keeps on explaining further, how we can, how this useless argumentations, they can also ruin our life at a personal level. How can this useless argumentation ruin life of others when we are trying to preach? And how this useless argumentation can even spoil a life or relationship between two devotees when they get into different useless argumentations? Of course, we don't have time to get into details, but just one example that Prabhupada, one time, this Prabhupada was in New York, and this boy suddenly got up, and this boy told Prabhupada, Swamiji, your philosophy very much sounds like a philosophy of Buddha. Prabhupada said, do you follow Buddha? Do you follow Jesus? Do you follow Krishna? At least, then this person said, no. Prabhupada said, just follow someone. Don't just talk. Because just by talking about it and not following is not going to give solution. What is important is follow the process and you will experience which process is right and which process is wrong. So if we have to practice, or if we have to progress on this path, then we have to practice the process rather than simply getting into argument and doubt who is right and who is wrong. In fact, one time there was one devotee who gave a presentation, and while he was giving a presentation, he came up with two German warriors, not German, Roman warriors. He showed two Roman warriors who were fighting with their sharp swords, and these two swords are clashing, and on the sword it was written, Prabhupada said. So this devotee was telling that how when we actually not get into the true intent of Prabhupada's teaching and focus on the specifics, then we will just carry those swords, and each sword will have writing, Prabhupada said. And we may end up into useless, never-ending arguments. Just like the impersonalist may argue by saying soham, and a personalist may add da to that soham, and it turns out to be da soham. And that impersonally adds sa, sada soham, and the personalist will again add da, da sada soham, and the impersonalist will again add sa, sada sada soham, and the devotee or the personalist will keep adding das daso da, what is that, daso 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 aham, and there is never end to that argumentation. What is important is focusing on the central aspect, central teachings of Srila Prabhupada, rather than focusing on the peripheral. So it is more important for a sadhaka to focus on the central teachings than focusing on the details of it, because details will keep vary as per time, place and circumstances. And when we try to focus on this teachings of Srila Prabhupada, then we will definitely try to overcome differences of opinion and argumentation and battles and conflicts and doubts. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthrachnam Bhagavatam ki jai.